just kind of, you know, like, let's not slip into apathy. Let's not struggle our whole lives with relationship with God, because God's got a better plan. God's got something better for us than always struggling, always trying to get by, always like having this great time with God and then falling away and doing our own thing and then having to come back. I think God's got something far better for us than that. And it's hopefully that's what we're all after, is a stronger relationship with God. The cry in our heart that, God, I want more of you. I want more of your presence. I want more of your power. I want more of relationship with you. I want to live with you. So today we're just going to wrap up this series. In 2 weeks from today, I'm going to be away this week. I was blessed. God blessed me. Huge. Pastor Stephen Beth paid for a trip for me to San Bernardino to visit Jim Cobray at his church. The men would know him from the Valiant Conference this past year. The women would know his wife from a couple years ago at Divine, Deborah Cobray. They have a pastor of church in California, so I'm going down there this week for a conference. So God's blessed me. Great. Relationships are great, because sometimes you get these blessings you didn't expect. Beyond that, it's all, you know, just the relationship that we have is awesome, and God's done great things through that. So I'll be away. 2 weeks from today, we're starting a series on Colossians. So what I'm planning on doing is putting together a reading plan for us as a church that will go through Colossians together, that we'll read it, we'll think about it, that we'll study it. Then we get together on Sundays, we're just going to talk about it and see what we can learn from it. So just want to really just challenge you all over this next 5 or 6 weeks to get into God's Word, to read His Word daily. You can start reading Colossians today and read it through. You could probably read it through a couple times, 3 times, 4 times a week. And just, you know, read some other information on it, some of the commentaries if you have those. Esword.net is a great resource. You can go there, download Bibles and commentaries, and just read what some people have thought and taught about these different chapters and verses, and just see what you can learn. Because I think God wants us to know His Word. I think He wants us to get in a place that we love His Word. If we're going to walk out life with God, if we're going to walk out our life with God, then we have to know and love His Word. We have to know and love His presence. We have to know Him. Can't live life just with some obscure knowledge of God. Well, Tom told me that this is what the Bible said. Or I was at a meeting once and the preacher said this, and that's how I've sort of been living my life. No, God's called us to live in a relationship with Him. So it's going to be awesome if we do that. It's going to be amazing if we'll just step into that relationship with Him. So today we're going to wrap up our series, Sink My Life. I wanted it to help us to all kind of rethink and revisit our relationship with God. We're all at different places. You know, some people, they're walking with God every day and it's really good. You know, they have their time of prayer. They sense the presence of the Lord. God's speaking to them, working in them, doing these great things. Other people are far away from God in their hearts. But no matter where we are in our relationship, there is more. There is more. We can never actually plumb the depths of who God is and what He'd love to do in us and through us in this lifetime. We see, as it says in James, through a cloud or through a mirror, darkly now, but then face to face with God, so that we could know Him. But we get to know a big part about Him now. We just have to take the time to do that. I was at Tom and Carol are here this morning, and we're just praying for you guys and believing God's going to keep with you in this time. But I was at Tom's dad's funeral this week, and Tom's dad, you know, served in the house of God his whole life, and just sat there and listened as just gave a tribute to a relationship with God. And that's the way God wants it for us. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He's called us into it. But many times as Christians, we're practical atheists. We say we believe in God. We maybe even at one time were passionate and hot and on fire in our relationship with God. But in a lot of ways, we deny His existence by the way we live. We deny his existence by the way we live because we just keep going through life, doing our thing, doing it in our own strength and our own power. When God has something so much better. Just for instance, how many of us, now don't expect you to raise your hands, but just answer these questions in your own heart. How many of us at one time had a closer and deeper relationship with God than we are now walking in? How many of us are okay with that? Not okay with that. Our best days are still ahead of us. Best days aren't behind us. It's not the good old days. The good old days are here and now and ahead of us. God has something better for us. If you're not okay with that, what are you doing about it? How often do you pick up your Bible and actually read it to know God, to know him, not just to study for a Bible study or just to study for a devotion with your kids, but how many times do you actually pick up your Bible just to know God, just to spend time with him in his presence? When was the last time you took some time apart to fast and pray, spend time with, as we sing, the lover of our soul? Our Savior, Jesus. When was the last time? I'm not judging you, I'm just asking you. Because trust me, I have to ask myself all these same questions. If we're honest, right, most of us that are married and have been married for a while, we have to ask these questions in our own marriage. Because our tendency as human beings is to be selfish. Our tendency in our self is to be always kind of drifting away and becoming more centered in ourself. If we're going to keep our relationships strong, we have to focus, we have to decide, we have to use our will to do it. It's not just going to happen. It's got to happen because we will it to happen, because we decide to make it happen. Have I become satisfied with knowing about God? Or is it my fervent passion to know him and be known by him? It's one thing to know somebody. I mean, you could, my son Logan and Levi, both of them could just spout out statistics about hockey players. They could tell you, Logan could tell you every goalie on every team. He could probably tell you their stats. He could tell you what their, if they're good, if they're not good, if they got a good attitude or a bad, he knows all about them. But he doesn't know them. And many of us know all about God, but we don't know him. We've settled. We've decided it's easier to do it this way because it's less work. But we're empty. We're dry. We're dissatisfied. But God wants something better for us. Am I living in God's neighborhood? Or am I dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? You all know Christine. You all have talked to her. You know a little bit about her. But I know Christine. I live with her. I know all her secrets. I know her. I know her. So many of us are just convinced and satisfied with living in our neighborhood with God. Just that God's kind of around us somewhere. But God wants us to dwell in the secret place with him. He wants us to know him. Is there still a cry in your heart for more of God? Or have you settled and said, this is enough for me? Because there is more. No matter where you are, I don't care if your relationship is red hot, there's more for God, of God for you. I don't care if your relationship is just kind of average, there's more of God for you. But it's only going to come as you press in, as you call out, as you cry out to him. If my relationship with Christine is just like, hey, how's it going? And I walk away, our relationship is never going to be strong, never going to be grown. But if I'm like Christine, you know, like we go through times, we're busy. She's working right now, I'm working right now, she's working a few nights a week, I work a couple nights a week, and we're home maybe one night a week together, or two. And there's just this cry in my heart, you know, like, let's be together. And that's, you know, like, and that's what we should have for God. We can't just approach God Like, hey, we have to approach God with a desire and a hunger for Him. A desire and a hunger for Him. We get so busy in this world, running around doing our thing, that we forget that Jesus wants to be our life. Wants to be our life, our whole life. He wants our life to be centered in Him. He wants, when we sing that song, that we mean that song. All I need is You. I need You. More than anything else, I need You. He wants to be the reason we exist. But I think for many people, if we're really honest, it's not that way. It's not that way for us. We've decided we could settle. He wants to be the reason we exist. We live really, a lot of times, secular lives where we don't really need God to get involved in our life and what we're doing. We could do what we've got planned without the help of God. If your plans are so small that you don't need God to help you carry them out, your plans are too small. There's no wonder you're bored. There's no wonder that you're worrying. No wonder that you're trying to grasp and hold on to things. If your plans are too small, so small that you don't need God, you're living a life way below what God has called you to live. I started this series with this quote by C.S. Lewis, and I'm going to throw it out again today. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with food, with drink, with lust, ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. We mess around with the secular. We mess around with just everyday needs and just today's thing and what we might need today when something greater is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to keep on making mud pie in the slums because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the beach. If I really want to be happy, I would seek God. Oh, but God is abstract. It takes effort to reach God, so I settle. I settle for weak amusement that require no effort. What a lazy fool I am. It doesn't have to be that way. I keep saying it, and I know it's a bit negative. I know it's a bit, throw a wet blanket on us. I know it feels that way, but I just keep saying it because I want to challenge you that there's more. God has planned something better than this. God has a bigger life for us. God has a bigger purpose for us. God has a bigger destiny for us. But it's all wrapped up in His presence. It's all wrapped up in a relationship with Him. If you don't have a relationship with Him, you can't experience it. You can't go there. You can't have it. And just because you said one day, Jesus be my Lord, and you never took it further than that, doesn't mean you're living for Jesus all the way. It's my goal today to close, while I close this series, to inspire you and challenge you to really go after God. Really seek Him, really know Him, really live in His presence every day. There was a day when I decided I want Christine to be my wife. I want her to be my wife. And when I decided that, I went after her. I pulled out all the stops because I just wanted to be with her. I wanted her to be the one I spent my life with. So I did all my best stuff. I brought out all my best. I wrote the best letters I've ever written. I gave the best gifts I'd ever given. I just wanted her. And that's what I want to inspire you to do today, is to pull out all the stops. And go after God. Go after Him with some passion and with some zeal, some fire in your heart. If you really want to, if you'll really seek God that way, the Bible said, if you'll seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. So David, in Psalm 63, verse 1, I love this chapter. It's from the Message Bible. God, You're my God. I can't get enough of You. I worked up such a hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry and weary deserts. I don't know about you, but I've been across some deserts. Been through the desert on a horse with no name. No, I just been through the desert many, many times. Been through a big desert over the last while. And I'll tell you, it does stir up a hunger and a thirst for God. So here I am, in this place of worship, eyes open, drinking Your strength, drinking in your strength and your glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. Many times, I just want to stop, many times it takes us going through a desert, going through a dry place, going through a time in our life where sometimes it feels like the wheels have fallen off of everything before we really realize that we need God, that we need Him, that we need Him. And this is what David's talking about. Now he's come out of this desert, he's in this place with God, and he's like, this is the place, this is where I want to be. In your generous love, I'm really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praises. If I'm sleepless at midnight, no big deal. I spend the hours in grateful reflection because you've always stood up for me. I'm free to run and play. I hold on to you for dear life. You hold me steady as a post. These are the words of David, but they could be our words. They probably should be our words. We should probably have that same longing for God that David had. God wants us to want Him like that. He wants us to want Him like that. He wants it to be our desire to serve Him, to love Him, to be with Him. I don't know about you, but I've been through the desert. I've worked up a hunger and thirst for God. I long for Him. My desire in my heart is toward Him. It is, and I want it to be for all of us that way. Oh, David was an old covenant guy. That means that he didn't have Jesus. He didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. He didn't get the same benefits that we have. We get easier access to God now because of the blood of Jesus, because we don't have sin in our way. We're now the righteousness of God. We can walk into the presence of God anytime we want. David couldn't. But David did. We can, but many times we don't. Access doesn't always equal doing it. We have this ability to have this awesome relationship with God. That's why the precious blood of Jesus was shed. The sinless, pure blood of Jesus was shed so that we could have a relationship with God. But we got to do it. We got to step into it. It's not just us, though. Paul was already coaxing the New Testament church to do this in Hebrews. He said, now that we have Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We do not have a high priest who is out of touch with our reality. Jesus has been there. Jesus has been there. He's been through weakness and testing. Experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to Him and get what He's so ready to give. Take mercy, accept the help. Words like, let's not let it slip through our fingers. Let's take what He's so ready to give. I know it sounds cliche, but let's fall in love with Jesus all over again. You sing that old song, I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. You know, and we sing those songs and they become words. But I don't know about you. If you're married in this place, do you remember the day when you slipped on the bank of that pond and fell in love with your woman or your man? Do you remember when you fell head over heels when just all of a sudden you knew that was it? Do you remember that day? I remember it like it was yesterday. We went out. We were just hanging around sort of as friends, but, you know, wanted to be a little more than friends. But we were out shooting pool together, playing at the pool hall, and we were talking and just talking about relationships and past, you know, struggles and hurts. And Christine was telling me about some stuff that she went through. And we were just getting out of the car, and I looked over the roof, and I know you probably heard this 100 times. You're sick of it. But anyway, I looked across the roof of the car and I stared in her eyes and I just knew this was the woman I wanted to spend my life with. I wanted to protect her. I wanted to love her. I wanted to make sure she never got hurt in relationship again. Now I know that's impossible, but that's the way I felt that day. I just wanted her to know that I loved her because it was over. It was right that moment it was over for me. I wanted her. I desired her. I just wanted her as my wife. I remember just right around that same time, we were just sort of seeing each other with friends all the time. But again, you know the way it is when you're young. You always have friends, but sometimes you want it to be more than friendship. And we were out hiking up at Dundas Peak, and it was fall, right around Thanksgiving. And we were just with a bunch of people, and I climbed up this tree, and I was looking down, and Christine was laying on the ground, and there was all kind of leaves, you know, golden leaves around her, and she's a nice blonde girl, and she's laying on the ground there, and she just looks so beautiful. My heart's like, oh, it's amazing. It's just like, I can't help it. This is too much. You know, make you want to puke, right? Get a room, all that. But here's the deal. Do you remember when you fell in love with Jesus? Do you remember that day? When you slipped off the bank and you just lost your footing and you said, Jesus, I want you more than anything. Do you remember that day? I remember that day. I remember that day. I was sitting in a meeting and I was hearing once again the call to give my heart to Jesus. I thought my heart was going to come out of my chest. It was just beating so hard. I just wanted to respond to the call of Jesus for my life. And it was amazing. I was like young, I was a kid, but I just knew that my life would never be the same. And I went to bed at night and I'd dream and think, so awesome because I have Jesus. How long has it been since you felt that way about Jesus, the way you felt that day you fell off the cliff for him? How long has it been since you felt that way? Like all relationships, if we don't keep the fires of passion burning and strong, they will wane. They will wane. We have to decide to follow Jesus. Whenever I've had a time where I've experienced closeness to God after I've been away and cold for a while, I always tell myself I'm never going there again. So I always look back, because I'm kind of a bit of a think-too-much kind of person, so I always try and look back and say, what was it that caused me to slip away? What was it? And it was never a big step. It was never just that one day I woke up and said, I'm just sick of this whole Christianity thing. I'm sick of this Jesus thing. I'm just going to walk away. It was never like that. It was just one step. Got too busy. Didn't have time for my word. Didn't have time to read the Bible. To really read it, you know, to know him. Got too busy. Didn't have time to pray. I always, you know, have the excuse. I'm not a morning person. If you see me in the morning, I have a few close friends who know me that I could be pretty real around it. You know, they've seen me in the morning and it's like a truck ran me over, and so I'm not real good in the morning. So when I try and pray in the morning, it's real hard for me. And so the rest of you know that as the day goes by, there's just so many things that come up. There's so many things that take your time. There's so many things that take your attention away. And so many times I just get busy and I would just not have time to really pray. Maybe I'd say a prayer going through the day, God help me, God do this, God do that. But I never really prayed to know him, to really talk to him, to understand him. So many times it was just something that shouldn't have had place in my life that Jesus holds, started taking that place. And I think that if we're all honest, we've all been there. It's not the big things. It's not a step away from God, but we just find little ways to lose our attention and be drawn away, you know, by our own lusts, by our own things, by distractions that lead us away. In Revelations, Jesus confronts this through John. And he says, write this to Ephesus, to the angel of the church. Sometimes the Message Bible is like really wordy and I can't quite get that next sentence out. So we'll just skip down to the next verse. I see what you've done. Your hard, hard work. Your refusal to quit. I know you can't stomach evil, that you weed out apostolic pretenders. I know your persistence, your courage in my cause, that you never wear out. This is like the perfect church. These people are like tenacious. These people are like on the mark. They're living for the cause. They're doing all the stuff for God. This was like the first mega church. Bible scholars say this church was like 10,000 strong. And they were like doing the deal for God. And all these things that Jesus said about them sound like good things to me. But this is what he goes on to say in verse 4. But you walked away. But you walked away from your first love. Why? What's going on anyway? Do you have any idea how far you've fallen? A Lucifer fall. Turn back. Recover your dear early love. No time to waste, for I'm well on my way to removing your light from the golden circle. You walked away. It was a decision they made. An act of their will. Jesus didn't move away from them. They walked away. Are you walking away today? Have you walked away? Have you said, I believe in God, but then denied by your lifestyle his existence? Today, Jesus is calling you, turn. Turn back. It's been me many times. My story far too often. Busy doing God's stuff, but cold in my heart toward him. Not that I meant to, not that I wanted to. I just sort of walked away. Just let other things take his place. It happens when we don't make a decision of our will to keep focused and stay strong with him. Turn back. Recover your first love. That's what he's saying. We started this series talking about David and his slide from the presence of God because he allowed apathy and lethargy to get in the way of his relationship with God. Today we'll end this series with this warning from Revelations. As much as the prophet Nathan came to David and said, David, you're wrong. You've got to get this right. Repent. Turn. Jesus, through the apostle John, is saying the same thing to the church today. Get this right. Turn. Repent. Come back to me. Turn toward me. It's my heart's desire to see all of us following Jesus in a way that's pleasing to him. A way that's challenging to us. A way that's fulfilling to us as his people. But the fact is, if I could figure out a way, if I could do it for you, if I could figure it all out for you, I would, but I can't. I can't walk your walk. I can't live your life. I can't work out what it takes to have a relationship with Jesus for you. In Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, cultivate your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In the contemporary English version, it says it this way. My dear friends, you've always obeyed when I was with you. Now that I'm away, you should obey even more. So work with fear and trembling to discover what it really means to be saved. God is working in you and will make a way and make you willing and able to obey him. With fear, with reverence, and with trembling, figure out what it really means to be saved. We need to keep these in our hearts and in our minds. It's our responsibility to work it out. It's our responsibility to walk it out. It's our responsibility to stay close to Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit's work in us so that we can walk out this life in the Spirit and not in the flesh. When we stand before God, you can't say, Pastor Ralph didn't tell me that. You can't say, I didn't know. I thought that it was all good. You can't say that because it's your responsibility. You can't say, well, my kids kept me too busy. I was running here and there, sports, music practice, plays or whatever. I was just too busy. I couldn't find the time, Jesus. You can't say that because it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. You can't say it was that spouse you gave me. You know, they're just got work for me to do all the time, and I'm just trying to support the home, and I'm trying to take care of the kids, and I'm trying to do all. You can't use that as an excuse because it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. I can only answer for me. You can only answer for you. But we have to answer. We can walk out this life in the Spirit. We can do it. God wants to be our everything because that's how we were designed to live. But he will, not even God. You can't even blame God and say, God, you didn't make me do that. You're God. You're in control. Why didn't you make me? God's giving you the choice. He's giving you the right. He's giving you the decision. He will not make you. You have to decide. You have to make up your mind to do the will of God. So once again, the question, how many of us at one time had a closer and deeper relationship with God than we are experiencing now? Are we okay with that? Have we become satisfied with knowing about God? Or is our fervent passion to know Him and be known by Him? Are we living in God's neighborhood, or are we dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Is there still a cry in our hearts for more of God? I've been thinking a lot about the life of Moses lately. And he's the guy, my favorite probably character in the Bible, because he's like me, I think. He's emotional. He loses it once in a while. He's, you know, just that different kind of bird, and I just really relate to him. He was a serious God chaser. Even though he knew that it could quite possibly kill him, he begged God to see his face. The Jewish people, they were afraid to say the name of God, because they felt if they did not say it with enough fear and reverence and respect, that they could be struck dead for saying it. But here was Moses saying, I want to see your face. I want to look you in the eyes, Lord. I want to know you, even knowing that it might kill him. He wanted to see him. Totally understand this, because I don't know, if you talk to me on the phone, I'm like the most boring person on the phone, because I hate phones. I just want to see when I'm talking to you. Phone is a necessary tool, but if I can't see you, if I can't look in your eyes, we're not really having a conversation. And I understand. One of my greatest desires and what I look forward to the most as a Christian is one day when I stand before God and I can look into His eyes. His beautiful, loving eyes. That's my biggest look forward to. That's when heaven is there, that's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm really, really looking forward to. And that's what Moses' desire was. So, God used Moses to deliver His people from captivity in Egypt, just as He's using you and I today to lead people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, from being in bondage to being free. They had a few hitches along the way, a little bit of whining, a little bit of complaining, a golden calf, a drunken party around the golden calf. This is sort of the way practical atheists live. We believe in God, but we deny His existence by how we live. And this is what they were doing. And God said, I've had enough. I've had enough. So He has this conversation with Moses. In Exodus 33, verse 1 to 3, God said to Moses, now go, get on your way from here. You and this people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Head for the land which I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel ahead of you, and I'll drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. You've got to know it's God that said this, because I don't know how you can remember all those names or say them. Anyway, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but I won't be with you in person. I won't be with you in person. You're such a stubborn, hard-headed people, lest I destroy you on the journey. God said, these people, Moses, make me want to hit something. So I'm not going. The best is not going with you. You're going to get good, but you're not going to get the best. And this is what it goes on to say in verse 7. God used to take the tent and set it outside the camp. Moses used to take the tent and set it up outside the camp some distance away. He called it the tent of meeting. Anyone who sought God would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. It went like this. When Moses would go to the tent, all the people would stand at attention. Each man would take his position at the entrance of his tent with his eyes on Moses until he entered the tent. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud descended to the entrance of the tent, and God spoke with Moses. In some versions, it says God spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And Moses gets right to the point. Moses doesn't wait. Moses just says the way he sees it. Brave guy. He says, If your presence doesn't take the lead here, call this trip off right now. If you're not going with us, God, we're not going. It took a crazy amount of bravery, a crazy amount of courage, also a crazy amount of knowing His God, of living in the presence of God, to know that this was good to God, that someone standing in the breach, someone saying, I'm going to stand for a generation, someone saying, God, we need You, and without You, we can't live. Someone that would say, as he goes on to say, God, if You don't go with us, we're no different than everybody else. So there's no point going. I'm not going. Moses took a stand and said to God that the only way we're going to make a difference is if You're with us. And if You are with us, then everyone will see that You make the difference. He was willing to stop moving if God was not moving with him. Are you ready to stop moving? Are you ready to really go for God? Are you really ready to say, God, I desire You more than anything else on this planet. God, I need You. I want You. I want to live in Your presence. I just want to read this quote to you one more time. Then we're going to close in prayer. Again, I'm not reading this to throw a wet blanket. I'm reading this to remind you that there's something better for you. There's something better for me. There's something better for our community if we'll live our life really passionately for Jesus. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and lust and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to keep on making mud pie in the slums because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the beach. If I really wanted to be happy, I would seek God. Oh, but God is abstract. It takes effort to reach God, so I settle. I settle for weak amusement that requires no effort. What a lazy fool I am. God, as we come before You this morning and close our series, Sink My Life. God, today, it's our cry that Thou would never be spoken of us. Lord, that we would be a people that are not lazy, but a people that are passionate for You. A people that go after You, a people that seek You. Lord, a people that want to please You. Lord, today I just pray, Lord, for myself, but Lord, for every person in this place, God. As we stand before You at this time, as we are at this point in our life, Lord, as we have heard, Lord, today the warning in Revelations, Lord, to turn, to repent, to return to our first love. God, today, Lord, I just pray that each one of us, Lord, would just have a desire and a passion to love You and to serve You. Lord, to return to You. Lord, to spend time, Lord, each day in Your presence. Not just going and doing the task, God, but actually going with a hunger and a desire to meet with You. God, with a desire to live each day of our life with You, Lord, in control. Lord, a desire to live each day of our life, Lord, with an awareness that You are our King and our God, and that what You think matters and what You think is written in Your Word, and Lord, that we will be people, Lord, of Your Word. So, Lord, at the close of this series, I pray there be a new beginning, or a new birth, Lord, a new desire. Lord, for those of us that are walking far from God today, Lord, we're just going to ask You to just really change us, and Lord, we're going to make commitment to You. For those of us that are living passionately on fire, God, just bring us into more of You. Lord, meet with us. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us and change us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to close. Just going to pray a prayer together. This prayer is going to be a prayer just of consecration to God. So if you're following Jesus already and you're passionate, we can pray this prayer and ask God for more. If you're a person that's known Jesus and right now you're feeling far away from Him, and he's speaking to you this morning, and your heart's pounding, and you just want to feel and experience that precious love all over again, then today we're going to pray this prayer, and God's going to do something in your life as you commit to him. If you've never known Jesus, if you've never made a commitment to him this morning, we're going to pray a prayer that if you pray it with your heart, if you speak with your mouth and believe it in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then today your life is going to be changed. It's going to be new. It's going to be vibrant. It's going to be fresh. You're going to start on a path to walk with God for the rest of your life, for the rest of your days. And if you'll do what we said this morning, if you'll just stay passionate and live and read God's word and know God and pray, and it'll just keep growing and become more and more amazing every day. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I just ask you today to touch my life. Lord, I've been far from you, maybe. Or maybe I'm real close. But Lord, there's more of you. And I want to experience that. I want to know you more. I want you to have my life. Take my life. Take everything I am. I give it to you. From this day and on, I want to serve you. Lord, today I turn. I turn from the way I was living. Live a life, Lord, that's passionate for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to sing a song of worship. If you need to do business with God, take some time. If you want to sit, you can sit. If you want to come to the altar and pray, you can come to the altar and pray. Just make sure if God's speaking to your heart this morning, you do business with him, that you talk to him, that you make some commitments to him and keep those commitments that you made. If you need prayer for anything, if you're physically sick or if you just need some agreement on something, you can go down the hallway here. Third door on your left is the prayer room. There'll be someone there to pray with you, to agree with you, and we'd love you to take advantage of that. So let's stand and let's worship. If you've given your heart to Jesus for the first time this morning and you pray that prayer, please stop by the prayer room and talk to someone there and tell them about it. So really want to welcome you to the family of God today. Let's stand, let's worship, and let's allow God to work in our hearts.